Welcome to the Doctors on Social Media podcast. Welcome to SoMe Docs. I'm the founder of this venture, Dr. Donna Coriel, a curious internist turned digital entrepreneur. I run this beautiful community and encourage you all to subscribe, engage, and join us at doctorsonsocialmedia.com. The following is a conversation we had with a professional in healthcare, now available to both watch in video or listen to through audio podcast. We hope it entertains, inspires, and ignites conversation. Don't forget to check out our other unique resources on our website. And of course, share this with your friends. So we are going to now have a conversation that is so unlike any conversation I have had ever, I think. I was going to say in quite some time, but really ever, because I am going to record this episode. And of course, it's usually a visual episode and an audio episode. But for those of you watching visually, you'll notice that there is a little, it's not a photo, it's more of a drawing on the other side. So this is an anonymous physician, and he is going to be letting us know why his camera is not turned on. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Dana. The name is, and it's a pseudonym, it's Dominic Corrigan, and I'm one of the co-founders of Physicians Anonymous. And my avatar is an 18th century Irish physician called Dominic Corrigan, who later became a sir. And he's famous, at least in British circles, for having had a secret door where he would escape from patients and just do some self-care. Maybe possibly have a cigar or a whiskey. I don't know for sure. But he did whatever was good for him, self-care, just to get a break from the pressures of clinical medicine that were even apparent 200 odd years ago.
So when I scheduled for the audience, when I scheduled a meeting, a Zoom meeting with Dominic, I didn't know all this. So that's the interesting part of this episode, is that I thought I would be meeting virtually Dominic across the screen, and he wasn't there. It was this sort of avatar, and I actually thought his name was Dominic. So I was very surprised, and you know, it's interesting to me that Dominic isn't his name, and that's also not his picture, and he actually chooses to be anonymous as part of the persona, right? Can you tell us a little bit about what's behind remaining anonymous?
Sure. So, look, in an ideal world, I would not need to be anonymous. So, and in fact, none of us who have ever gone through burnout, mental health struggles, or addiction as physicians, none of us would need to be anonymous. But my story is, I was working as a clinician for 20 odd years. I trained as a psychiatrist, suffered from current depression, and then burnt out around the time of COVID with, managed to get myself an addiction as well. So, very lucky guy. But I refused, despite urgings from my wife and the people who love me, I absolutely refused to look at myself, and I refused to admit that there was a problem, and I refused to get help. So, and then as a result, everything built up, and boom, I exited clinical medicine, and I'm now working in non-core, non-clinical roles, which are very satisfying, intellectually satisfying. I miss the patients, of course. I do not miss burnout, systemic stress, the moral injury that I accumulated. And so I was talking to a friend, my co-founder, who's in Baltimore, PhD psychology, and we're talking about burnout, and even got as far as feelings of thinking of suicide and so on, which I struggled with for a bit. My identity was so caught up being a physician. I was like, well, if I can't be a physician, what am I? Who am I? So there was a whole piece around that, which we've written about. And we kind of both went, well, we've got to do something about this, because there's an epidemic of burnout. You know, the latest post-COVID stats are well over 50%. Physicians, never mind other specialties or other professions. So there's an epidemic of that. We also have an epidemic of mental illness and of suicide. And these are not spoken about nearly as much as they should be. My reasons were fear. And pride. I was terrified of the professional consequences of getting on the record help, of speaking to people. And also, I was too darn proud because, heck, I'm a psychiatrist. I can sort myself out. So I was wrong on both counts. And if I had my chance over again, I would happily do the right thing and get help from the experts rather than myself. But I'm here now, and this is an opportunity to try and provide anonymous support to physicians who are in the same position. And it can be anything from, I think I might be burning out, to I know I'm burning out, and or worse, you know. So we set up the anonymous support group, Physicians Anonymous, which is based on a 12-step program that I'm in, as well as our experience of, you know, psychology, cognitive behavioral therapy, coaching, and so on. So I qualify as a coach as well. And so there's a whole lot of things that we bring into our peer support groups. The key thing is that it's free and it's anonymous, and it's non-clinical. Nothing goes on your record. So it is not the same as clinical treatment, of course. If you need that, you need to get it. But there is a evidence-based power in peer support, and a lot of studies show that physicians don't want to talk to other people, but they will talk to physicians. So you have people walking in, camera off, first name only, who say, "I wish I'd had this 20 years ago," who wish that I had been able to communicate in the human to human level, like we're doing in this safe space. I just don't have that at work, and I'm not going to talk to my HR department, and I'm not going to talk to the EAP. And I'm even afraid of getting on the record help from, you know, the insurance records or whatever. So we're kind of a bridge between, we're filling a gap really between what's out there and isn't. So yeah, physiciansanonymous.org. If you check out our meetings, you'll be able to book in, and it's open to physicians only and medical students, of course. Yeah, we're on the mission to shift the needle of physician well-being. And the way we can do that is by providing safe spaces. Also, the anonymity thing gives us a power to actually say tough things that need to be said, to point fingers at the system, to point fingers at ourselves. You know, where are we? Where do we play a role in this? But having said that, let's say there are huge systemic cultural factors in our Western medical model that contribute to the current really poor state of mental well-being amongst physicians, which we could talk about.
We'll be right back.
SomiDocs is proud to introduce Dr. Side Ventures, a new interactive Facebook group bringing doctors from across the world into one interactive space. Some of our latest discussions include revenue models for private practices, the side hustles we're growing, malpractice needed in today's world, doctor finances, how much doctor services like CPAs and lawyers charge, and more. Join us at facebook.com/groups/sideventures.
That's great. I think that you're offering such a needed service, especially since it's free, which we spoke before I hit the record button, and I expressed to you that having that be free is just so big. Now, what, you know, I think you hit some of that when you said that, you know, healthcare professionals need to get their own help that's down in the books, because you were saying this is off the record, et cetera. So my question to you is, you know, what happens when somebody is deemed to be near suicide, or maybe you don't necessarily identify that it's near suicide, and then, you know, God forbid the worst happens. What happens in that case?
So we have, a full set of policies and protocols for dealing with that, and our facilitators are all MDs or therapists or combination. And so we've never, thankfully, we've never had to deal with that scenario in over 2 years of offering this service, thank God. But we have a process for dealing with that. We'd like to believe that people are open in the rooms and they're able to talk about these things, and feel safe to do that. And that's what the space is about. But you don't have to be that severe level. If you are, we have a process to encourage you to link in with your local support services. However, as an anonymous group, there's limits to what we can actually do in that because we don't actually know who you are or where you are. And this is a thing that an issue that I think 12-step programs and other anonymous support programs have dealt with over the years. Having said that, we have had people who are querying whether they're burning out or life could be different in medicine on the one hand, and then people who are actually in hospital and for severe depression or something, and have said, well, I'm in my group therapy, but there's no other physicians there. They don't get it. But I can come here, and I know it's not group therapy, it is peer support, but you guys get it. People have said that this intervention has literally saved their lives. And so we see ourselves as playing a role with suicide prevention. I mean, we don't talk about it nearly enough, but physicians have almost double the suicide rate of the general public. Why is that? There's lots of complicated reasons for that, but it's not acceptable. We need to be able to get the right help at the right time. At the moment, things like fear and pride and the current system, which can be punitive depending on where you are and what the nature of the problem is and which state you're in, the system can be very compassionate, but it can also be punitive. And then there's the whole medical malpractice thing, because in some states, if you've ever gotten help, that can be used in discovery in medical malpractice. And then suddenly you were clearly an unfit to practice doctor, and the attorneys are going to go to town on that. So there's all sorts of systemic issues like barriers between us getting help. And we live and we work in a very high stress environment. I struggle to think of other professions that are exposed to as much human trauma as physicians, right? First responders, the armed forces, and they all have huge burnout and epidemics just like us, and they have their own barriers as well to getting help. But for physicians, we want to be able to talk about these barriers and start to find ways to work around them so that it's easier and safer for us to get help when we need it and early. If I go for a course of CBT or or take some SSRI for anxiety or depression, that actually makes me a better doctor because my resilience increases, I'm getting the support I need, my thinking and decision making will be clearer, right? But if I put that on paperwork, credentialing or licensing or whatever, that could be held against me, depending on how compassionate the system is that I'm in. And so most people are not going to take that risk at all. And untreated mental illness is the number one cause of completed suicide. So we need to be able to get help.
Yeah, I think when you strip us down to the bare bones of what makes each of us up, we're all the same, right? I mean, regardless of our skin color, our gender, and our profession. And so that's the thing that I know that I have really been vocal about for many years is just that society sort of doesn't always deem us as human and forgets that at the end of the day, like when you again strip us down to the bare bones of us, we're all the same and we all struggle, we all have similar struggles. Like there's just this weird illusion in our society that Doctors are somehow all set up, you know, and should be like the strong ones. And oh, but what do you mean? But you're a doctor. Like I've noticed that every time that sort of even my own journey, having stepped away from clinical medicine, well, everybody's reaction is like, how could you? Like, why would a doctor not practice? And you and I know why, because we've lived through it. But the rest of society, for some reason, kind of almost puts us up on a pedestal, as in, why should they suffer when they're a doctor? What do you say to that?
Oh, man, I have so much to say about that. But at the end of the day, we're just human beings. I've got a blog post coming out on physicians.org, where we actually have a picture of a like half physician, half superhero, and it says we're humans, not heroes. So it is a good thing that doctors are respected and they're like the number one trusted profession, you know? Ironically, right at the bottom are politicians, right at the top are physicians. Okay. And the politicians are the one that make the regulations. But anyway, so we have to be trusted, and that's essential for the doctor-patient relationship. That is essential for patient trusting us to take them under anesthesia, to do the surgery, to take them through therapy, whatever it is, right? However, people have mixed up the professionalism and the efficiency and the intelligence that comes, that is a requirement for medicine, and the hard work and the conscientiousness. People are mixing that up with perfectionism and being superhuman. I think COVID didn't help because, like, you know, clapping for heroes and all of that. The, you know, a lot of us were kind of elevated. I think Hollywood hasn't helped. There's a certain like cultural, you know, understanding of physicians. Although actually there's been some great characters that have, you know, shown the human side. But at the end of the day, we are just human beings. So when you come into a Physicians Anonymous group, peer support group, we say that we park our white coats, our stethoscopes, our resumes at the door. We leave them there. This is about human beings. Just we're human beings who happen to be physicians, with all the tears and the laughter that comes with that. So, and we don't help ourselves also because they're, you know, I like the kudos. I like being appreciated and respected. And many of us do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, that pride got in the way of me getting help, and I see that in some other people as well, pride and fear.
And it's really important for me to point out to the audience listening that even though you're based in England, for those of you that could recognize his accent, that you have practiced in the US. And so you are familiar with the healthcare systems in both countries.
Yeah, and my co-founder is US based, and 90% of our attendees are in the US, 10% from the UK and the rest of the world. We intentionally started in the US because actually the figures, the data seem to be worse in the US. Probably because other countries haven't done the research, but you know, we have a huge and growing epidemic. If you look at the Medscape mental well-being and burnout surveys over the last, you know, 5 years, the rate just goes up 5-10% every year. Suicidal ideation goes up every year. Depression, anxiety goes up every year. So we have a growing problem, and it's really complicated. It is society's expectations. It is malpractice legislation. Oh, sorry, malpractice and litigation. It is the regulatory environment. You know, there's tort reform is required to make it easier and safer, and also to reduce defensive medicine. electronic health records are consistently the top three complete pains that people have to deal with. If they don't fill in the EHR correctly, then they can't bill, then they don't get paid, and someone on the clipboard comes and, you know, berates them. So all these things contribute to, you know, an unnecessarily stressful system for the best profession in the world. You know, like I so grateful the day that I got into medicine, the day I graduated as a doctor, the day I was first, saw my first ever patient as a real MD. This is a privilege, and such a pleasure. And I want those that are able, that, want to carry on doing this, to find a way to get the right support. Because there's a whole lot that is not taught in med school and residency around thriving as a doctor. And that's, understandably, there's so much to study and to learn as a, just to be a the technical side of being a physician. But we never learn things like self-care, how to say no, how to deal with bullying, sleep hygiene, remembering to hydrate yourself before you go into renal failure on a 36-hour shift, things like that. Setting boundaries. I think, have I mentioned dealing with bullying? I'm not sure, but these are all things that actually are out there, and we don't, finances, like finances, pensions, all these sorts of things, we just don't deal with. So actually, that's one thing that we've been building is a program for residents and, well, anyone really, for the burnout vaccine, which is to kind of teach us in protected time skills that residents in med school don't have time to teach, so that we can, really thrive in medicine.
Yeah, I definitely can relate. And on our end in SomiDocs, we're doing similar things just in terms of like opening up a section for students, identifying those holes where the medical education is missing such key parts of what makes us thriving, satisfied, and happy humans. And again, knowing that we are doctors, and in student cases, that they are becoming doctors. And so they actually need to be equipped with more than just the medical knowledge. They need to be equipped with the tools they need to be healthy and to be financially sound, et cetera. So kudos to you for the things that you have put effort into. I invite everybody that's listening to check out what you've built, especially if anybody that's listening is in need of just talking anonymously out loud to a group that understands. Can you direct everybody to where they can find your resources?
Sure, thanks, Dana. And I mean, just it's so important that we're investing early on. So I love that you're opening up to med students as well. So yeah, physiciansanonymous.org, one word, physicians anonymous, no dashes, just one word. And then you'll see we've got our blogs, we've got resources for individuals, resources for organizations, and then the peer support anonymous groups, which you can then check out when they are. They're in different days, different time zones. See what works for your schedule and sign up. We have a limit to the number we accept in a group, so it's better to sign up and then get a few meetings booked in if you like it, so that at least you have a place. When the groups become full, we will expand into and start growing new groups organically. It's all volunteer run. We have amazing physicians, and two therapists actually who work with us completely voluntarily from the beginning to support colleagues. Yeah, people have been wonderful in trusting us and just coming into the room and being a human being with us. And the feedback has been, immense. Obviously, can't go into detail and we don't record that level of data, but we've seen hundreds of physicians. And the feedback is routinely positive. But we're not the be all and end all, Dana. We're part of an ecosystem, right? So there are any number of resources out there for people in terms of mental health, in terms of coaching support. We have friends called Physician Coach Support, founded by Dana Ladonio, who's an amazing physician, and they provide free coaching. So, and then, of course, depending on which state you're in, there'll be local resources, including the physician health programs. Many of them now have anonymous services that you can actually call into, and you can be assured that they will remain anonymous, and they can, help and guide you. They're not the terrifying no-go zones, that I expected, having now met with a number of their leadership. They want physicians who are struggling to get help. They're not just for addicted doctors, they're for all sorts of physicians who are struggling, and better to invest now than for the train crash to occur like happened in my case, and then too many colleagues who have left clinical medicine or worse.
Wonderful. I'm so happy that these resources exist. Thank you so much for joining me in this conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.